I said, I need your mic. He goes, oh, wow. I'm glad to be in God's house tonight. I wanted to start by saying I love this church. You know, I think that's important to say. I think that's important for people to hear that it's not just emotion, it's not just an action, but it's, you know, you can love somebody, but until you show them through action, they don't know it. But they need to hear it in word as well. So I wanted to tell you tonight that I love you. I honestly can say, I think there was a point in my life where I'm not sure if that was true. I'm not sure that I loved people the way that really God calls us to love people. Can anybody? And I'm not sure at what point in my life that really took a turn, but at some point, I believe the Lord did a work in my spirit and in my heart. And maybe you need that. Maybe you need that touch from God that you feel inside. You feel, you know what you should do, but you just don't know how to get there. And through the working of the Holy Spirit and in these times in our services and in prayer and in the Word, I believe that things happen that we can't do on our own. Amen? Amen. And I wanted to tell you tonight that I love you, and I do love this church. I love serving. I love serving here. I wanted to share a quick testimony with you tonight before I started. About 2 months ago, and you, Dad, you could correct me on the time frame, but I went to a meeting at Pastor Ron Domina's church, who happens to be my dad's pastor in Rochester. And you hear my dad say that he's a great man, and I think it's worth saying that he is a great man, but he's more than a great man. He's when he speaks, you actually hear the heart of God. And I went there a month, maybe 2 months ago, and Dad had heard a gentleman by the name of Pastor Tim Delina. If you're on Facebook, like his Facebook page. Great stuff. The guy posts stuff all week long that speak into your spirit. And he came to Rochester and he spoke at a leadership meeting. And Dad had asked me, he said, come out. Why don't you come out? You'll love this guy. So I came out, and on a Sunday night he spoke. And God was just working on my spirit. You ever have the Lord just, the best way for me to explain it is slow cook something in your spirit, right? And the next morning was a Monday morning, and he spoke that morning, and specific to what he spoke on leadership, he spoke on integrity, he spoke on purity, he spoke on a lot of things, but one thing really caught my attention, one thing really caught my spirit, and that was this, that we need people in our lives that speak over us. And when he said that, I've heard people say that 1,000 times growing up with my dad. I heard those things. I've heard those things since I was young. But I really, at that point, I did an analysis of my life. Who speaks into your life, Ryan? Who do you receive direction from? Who do you receive correction from? Who speaks into your life? And I can name a few people, but I was really challenged by not only him, but by the Holy Spirit to add some people to my life that would speak into me. And he used this term, and I'll never forget this term as long as I live. He said, get some cotton heads in your life. Funny, right? I thought so, but it hit me so strongly that we need people with age and wisdom and who, quite frankly, have lived through some things to speak over us. And I want to be specific to age groups. I'm not being specific if you're in your teens. I'm not being specific if you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s. I believe that all the way through life, if you feel like you've made it there, I believe you still need people to speak in and over you. Funny thing that happens, here's my testimony, and I'll get into the word. Funny thing that happened to me, I had been going to the gym with this gentleman, and I really never engaged a guy. It's 5:30 in the morning, right? And You walk in with bad breath and smelling and the whole works, and you really never engage anyone. For me, I never engaged anybody in the gym, but I prayed that morning. I said, Lord, I would ask that you would help me connect me with certain people. And I'll go a little deeper with it. I felt like I got to the point in some sense that dad's the pastor, right? And people are always real careful and real specific about what they say to the pastor's son. Because whatever you tell him, right, he's going back to his dad and he's going to tell. So I always felt like I had this disconnect with people. Are you with me right now? I always felt like I had this disconnect. And I asked the Holy Spirit this that morning. And the point I'm getting at right now is when you ask the Lord for something, when you go to him, and I'm not talking about a pay raise, a new house, oh Lord, can I have that new car? I'm not talking about that. It's like the scripture that said, because you asked for wisdom, I'll give you both. And that morning I stopped and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I need you to connect me with some people with wisdom. I need you to connect me with some people that are cotton heads. Two things happened, and I'm getting into the word. I was connected with a local pastor, and we started having a Bible study after the gym on Thursday mornings. That was the first cotton hen. Guy texts me out of the blue. He'll just text me, hey, here's what I feel the Lord speaking to you right now. You need that. You need that. You need those people. Second thing happened to me. Crazy. I'm at work. This guy walks into the showroom and walks across, peeks his head in my office. He says, Ryan, do you remember me? And I look at the guy like he's got five heads, and I have no idea who this guy is. Guy by the name of David Vickers. I had met him some time ago with Dad at Bethel. Make a long story short, he was at the meeting that morning. He's got a doctorate in theology. He has a doctorate in social work. The guy is brilliant. He's one of the most intelligent people I've ever communicated with in my life. I feel totally out of place communicating with him. But the Lord will give you the desire of your heart. If you walk in purity and you go to the Lord with the right heart, the right mindset, if you come before the Lord, right, it's like when your kids come to you. It's all in the approach, right? So I encourage you tonight to come to God with the right approach, to come to the Holy Spirit with the approach that I need to receive this tonight. I got a little joke for you, because I'm at some points I'm accused of being a little too serious. So I'm gonna lighten it up just for a second here. So this wealthy businessman has a get together at his house. And he invites all kinds of notable people, all kinds of friends, all kinds of people. Has a great spread of food, right? Can you picture it? He's got a beautiful home, beautiful, great party, serving people. And he has in the back lawn, he has this big, beautiful pool, right? And he brings all these exotic crocodiles and all kinds of sea creatures. He puts in the pool, shark, right? Piranha, all in the pool. Can you envision it? Are you visualizing it right now? And he stops the party. He says, band, be quiet. He stops the party and he says, I wanna challenge somebody. Anybody that'll jump in the pool and swim from one side to the other side, I'll give the deed to one of my oil wells. Or I'll write him a check for $1 million. And all of a sudden he hears, this gentleman goes in, comes in one side, and goes out the other. And the guy's standing there amazed. It was a joke. Guy gets out of the pool. He says, whatever you want. I'll give you the deed to the oil drill. I'll write you the check for it. What do you want? No, I don't want that. What do you want? He looks at him. What do you want? Looks back at him. He says, I want to know who pushed me in the pool. So tonight, to turn it, because this is all about me, all about the way my mind works, right? I want to push you in the pool. I want to encourage your spirit to think outside your box. I want the Holy Spirit to challenge your heart tonight. to get outside of who you are and step into what he has for you. It's customary for me always to have a reading from the Word. I believe God's Word can speak to us like we can't. I'm going to make a couple references tonight, but the first reference I'll make is 1 Samuel 17:20. Are you with me? So David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. I'm reading you the story of David and Goliath. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up the battle array, army against army. I love that. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked to them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were dreadfully afraid. You ever been afraid? So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy the army of Israel. And it shall be the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption for taxes in Israel." Wouldn't you love that? Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this matter, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, the older brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Not long ago, I had spoke a word that, and I'll use the term again, has been slow cooking in my spirit about serving. And when I begin to prepare notes and really ask the Lord, what would you have me speak? I kept going back to this serving cause. What's your cause? Who are you serving? What cause are you serving? So tonight, by God's grace, I'd like to share with you out of the subject, what cause are you serving? Can we pray together? Father, we just ask that in these next few minutes, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be heard in this place. God, that you would do something that I can't do with my lips. Father, I can't do with my eyes. I can't do with my ears. But Father, through your Holy Spirit, you'll have your perfect will in this house. Father, change us. Make us, mold us, Father. And to the people, Father, to the sons and to the daughters, to the moms and to the dads, into the men and to the women, Father, that you've called us. Father, that you've called us to the cause. Father, we just ask that even as your word is spoke, that the entrance of that word brings life. So even now in this moment, Father, we ask that your word, Father, would bring light. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is there not a cause? You know, I have the interesting perspective to talk to a lot of people. And sometimes when people engage me, I feel totally just out of place when I ask questions like, why do I feel empty? Why do I feel lost? Why do I feel undone? Ryan, as a Christian, why do I feel like I'm not living for anything? Interesting question, interesting thought-provoking questions. Why do I feel the way I feel? Why do I operate? Why do I live? Why do I wake up in the morning with a sense of emptiness? And I feel through the Holy Spirit, and I you know, when I'm asked questions like that, sometimes I'll ask people, let me ask the Lord for you. And it was some time ago that I was waking up in the morning and getting in the shower, taking a shower, putting my clothes on, walking out the door and saying, Lord, there's got to be more than this. There is more. Any great leader in history has attached themselves to a cause bigger than themselves. I think of the names Billy Graham. I think of a name Tommy Barnett. I think of a name Pastor Ron Domina. I think of a name Pastor Tommy Reed. And I come to one common conclusion, that they don't seek themselves. They seek a greater cause, a greater mission. The ability, the desire, the want to serve Christ. There's never been a generation of people, never been a generation of people like ours. In most generations, people have done great exploits, great things. You watch this generation, and sometimes I'll turn the TV on and I'll go, how is this person famous? How are these people notable? Why do people pay so much attention to this? Am I saying it right tonight? Why? Why do they get the attention? Why do people long to be like these people? I'm getting there. Most people are focused on me. The people on TV, they teach you, they inspire you to think of me. They preach to you. They talk in your living room. They talk to your children. They beg you to think of yourself. They scream at you, live for yourself. They scream at you, do whatever you want to do. Live however you want to live. Whatever makes you happy, that's what you should do. It's one of the biggest lies ever told. Most people are focused on me. How can you serve me? How can you make me noticed? How can you open a door for me? How can you fill the ever-growing motive of me? The current generations are following a me mentality. We are raising people with a sense of selfishness and entitlement. We are not like the generations before us. I think of my grandfather. I think it was 11 years ago that he passed now, isn't it? I'm 31. He passed when I think he passed when I was 21. I think of my grandfather. He's been gone about 10 years now. I think of him, I think of it in this sense, and I can make reference to this because I had this relationship with him. I could call my grandfather at any time, at any place, and he'd do anything for me. My dad could call him at any time, night, morning, day, and he could say, Grandpa, my dad used to call him Grandpa. He'd say, Grandpa, we need you to help with this. I remember when he bought the chairs that sat in my dad's lawn. The lawn, maybe you've run through. He bought the chairs. I wish I would have brought. There's one right there. He bought these folding chairs. These chairs right here. The chairs that you sit in the back. He bought them chairs. Not because he felt like he had to. Not because he felt like he was manipulated to. Not because he felt like he was pushed to do something he didn't want to do. He did it because he knew that if he gave, if he served something bigger than himself, that he'd catch the attention of God. Do you want the attention of the Holy Spirit? You know, it's interesting because you can turn on any TV program, and I'll make this reference. Just open your Facebook page. Just open it. Just open your Twitter account. Just open it. Am I right? Me mentality. It's all about me. You know, it's interesting to me. The church can put a post on about an event, about a spaghetti dinner. They can put a post on about a service. They can put a post on about a prayer time. And you might get one like. You might get 5 likes. You might get 10 likes. You put a post on about a me mentality. Look at this. Look at this new house. Look at this new car. Things that have no eternal value. Things that don't mean anything. I've come to the place in my life. I live through my 20s. I tell people all the time. I tell the young guys. Don't waste your 20s chasing things. I did it. I'm living proof. It's a waste. You waste your time, guys, ladies, chasing things. Let me get that job. Let me get that car. Let me get that house. Let me get that position. Let me get that title. All to get to the end of that at 31 and go, for what? What do I need that for? If you believe the lies of the world, if you believe it, you'll be empty. That's the answer. Why do I feel like I wake up just to go through the motions? Are you with me? The current generations follow a me mentality. We are raising people with a sense of selfishness and entitlement. We are not like the generations before us. Churches, colleges, family, businesses, marriages, all institutions that require self-service and self-sacrifice are falling apart. Tell me I'm wrong. Go ahead. Falling apart because there's no one left to carry the torch. There's no one left that'll grab the torch. I don't care if I'm paid or not. I don't care if you notice me or not. I don't care if you know if I bought these chairs or not. I'm doing it because I'm serving something bigger than me. In years past, I've watched this unique opportunity to watch people come into the music ministry. Come in. You know what I learned? Just keep serving. People come along and it'll be all about them. They want to sing their song. They want to preach their message. They want to run the ministry. They want control. And all you can do is love people. Because they're not serving what really matters. Is there not a cause? You can't build a church on preaching. But you can build a church on a spirit of love and the spirit of serving. The mentality is, if I can't control it, I can't run it, I can't be in charge of it, I can't get fed, I can't get noticed, I can't sing my song, I can't share my message, I'll come in late, I'll do nothing, and I'll continue to be fed, and when I'm all done and I'm not happy with it, I quit and I leave. And on the way out, I'll explain my causeless nature to anybody who will lend an ear to it. You ever met anybody like that? I have. Everyone is doing their own thing because our society is to serve its own agenda. Are you in love with you? Culture is selling us. We live in a society that sells us on a narcissistic society. Narcissistic. Having excessive or erotic, exotic interest in oneself. Think about yourself now. Are you in love with you more than you're in love with God? Are you in love with yourself? A proud spirit. And I'm getting there. I'm going to bowl this thing right down the center for you. Questions. Some questions for you. People get married with this mentality. Do you think it'll work? It's not about you in a marriage. It's about committing yourself to a higher call, an institution bigger than yourself, the institution of marriage. Am I committed to I or am I committed to us? Not because they have perfect love they make it. It's because they believe in a cause bigger than themselves. Do you, in the ministry you serve, do you, in the organization you serve, when you don't get what you want, do you say this? And I want to ask you, have you ever heard this? I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I'm not happy. Yeah, you've heard it. Some questions for you. Will you fight for something that's important? You know, I have to say this. There's certain things worth letting go. There's certain people in your life worth letting go, but there's certain things that are worth fighting for, that are worth standing up for. Will you believe in something bigger than just you and your own agenda? You can't serve you and be satisfied. It'll never work. Are you using bad words? Like sacrifice, like service, like purity. Are you using those words? Society hates them, don't they? Sacrifice, what do you mean? It's all about, I'm going to live for me. I'm going to do my own thing. It all ends in destruction. What do you do for others weekly and monthly? Write a list of what you give to others weekly and monthly without being paid. Family doesn't count. I want you to do that this week. If you want to move in the Lord, you want your life to progress in the Lord, I want you to write a list of what you do for people outside your family this week. Will you do that? Write a list. Is there ever a time where you give back more than you take? Do all roads lead back to you? I'll tell you what, that is. Are you stuck? On to question six. Are you stuck tending sheep? Until you begin to serve a cause bigger than you, you'll always be stuck tending sheep. Mediocre job, mediocre money, mediocre position, mediocre friends, mediocre life. Are you just tending sheep? Do you think of anything bigger than your own survival? Why are you unhappy? Why are you quitting? Why are you leaving? Why are you walking away? Why do you have no joy? Why do you struggle with contentment? Why are you unhappy with everybody that you come in contact with? Oh boy, you need to get this tonight. You need to get this cooking in your spirit tonight. Why are you unhappy? I see a few smiles. I've come to understand why I felt this way in my own life. It's because at some point, we broke the laws of the kingdom. And when I say this tonight, I'm telling you, he and I, we don't talk before service. We don't say, well, he's going to say this and you're going to say this. I swear, we never have them conversations. It's all through the Holy Spirit. I've come to understand why I felt this way in my own life. I've broken the laws of the kingdom. Seed time and harvest. Sowing and reaping. Everything comes in and nothing comes out, you have nothing without sowing and reaping. I want to read something to you. But I want to ask you, have you broken the laws of the kingdom? Is that why you're unhappy? Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he sows to the flesh, he will what? He'll reap of the flesh, and he'll reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit, will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing. Don't let us lose heart, O Lord. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to the household of God. I said something to you earlier, Chris, about what we were talking about, them shirts. The household of faith. Don't tell me not to take care of people who are in the church. Don't tell me to. God's word says to take care of the household of faith. That's you. You are to be taken care of, as well as the unbeliever. Amen? Are you involved in something? Until you come to the place where you understand and recognize that there's a call on your life, not a job, a calling, not a position, something that you can do that no one else can do as well. The jail ministry. Let me just lay a few of them out here for you. The jail ministry. The drama ministry. The music ministry. The building management ministry. Chris Busniak. Money management. I think it's so awesome. Jack. Awesome. Be at his class Sunday morning. Men's ministry, women's ministry, the bus ministry. Is there anything that you give, that you sow, that you don't get paid for, that you don't get positioned for? Why would God bless you? Why would he prosper you? Why should he promote you if all of it's for your own taking, to make you fat, to build your own kingdom, to feed just you and no one else? Why? His words, it's the same. God gives us resources to make a difference, not a difference in your own life, to live for yourself. But he's given you resources to make a difference. Make a difference. It's okay to have things, but don't let things have you. I've been there. I've come to the place in my life, I know a few things about what can make me happy and what can't. My wife, as beautiful and as lovely as she is, she can't make me happy. I love my two boys. I'd lay down my life for them. They can't make me happy. A position can't make me happy. Money can't make me happy. A new car can't make me happy. I bought lots of new cars. Okay? Can't make you happy. Bought lots of houses. Lasts about 30 days till you get the first payment. Doesn't make you happy. There's one thing. Look at your neighbor, one thing. Tell him one thing that can make you happy. And it's serving our King. I want to give you a scriptural reference here. And I got to, what time is it? I can't see the clock. It's 8 o'clock. I'm in bad shape here. Remember when Abraham in Genesis 24 wanted a wife for Isaac, his son. He said, go down to the city and find the girl that comes to the well and offers you a drink. Read it. You looking for a wife? You looking for a husband? Look for the one serving in the house, giving, sowing, not fanning yourself. Not strutting up and down the aisles of the church. Listen, I've watched that. Dad says easy. I've watched it. Thank you, Jesus. I watch my wife when she starts serving. That's when man, she's hot. Holy smoke, she's fine looking. The minute she starts, I mean it. You get your spouse to start serving in the church, the crosses are laughing. Todd's going like this to his wife. Yeah, it's true. When a woman starts serving or a man starts serving in God's house, there's an attraction. There's something that happens in the heavenlies. I'm going to skip along here. When Jesus went and picked his team of disciples, he didn't pick the ones that were sitting around. Hello. He picked the ones that were serving. They were working. They had businesses. They were developing. They were serving. I want to talk for just a minute, and I'm going to move fast here. I want to talk about where this narcissistic attitude came from. It didn't start on earth. Stay with me here, because this is profound. In Isaiah 14, 5, there's five I wills of Satan. Me, 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 me. I will ascend into heaven. This is Lucifer before he became Satan. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation and the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be the most high God. Boom! He's gone. No sense of humility, no sense of giving, no sense of loving, no sense of caring, no sense of serving. It's all about me. Me, look at me. Look how I walk. Look how I carry myself. Look at my position. Look how what I'm worth. Me. Boom. Gone from heaven. Step on Satan. I wanted to read you something else, too. I'm getting off course a little bit here, but it's okay. Listen to this. This is what the Lord says about pride. You ready for this? This is what the Lord says about pride. You ready for this? Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who am I to judge or be your arbitrator over you?" He said to them, "Take heed and be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses." He spoke a parable to them, saying, Jesus spoke this, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room in to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down the barns and build greater ones. And there I will store up my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for me over the years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. Then whose will provide those things to you?' So if he lays up treasure for himself and it is not rich towards..." You know what he's saying? You know what the word of the Lord's saying right there? You're nuts. That's what the Lord's saying. You're a fool. Keep storing it up. Do your own thing. All the pride in me. I understand, Dad, why you didn't want to stay in the hospital. I finally figured that out. I was aggravated with him. You know why he didn't want to stay in the hospital? Because in his spirit, he didn't want to stay in the bed. He knew someone else needed the bed. I want to ask you something. Have you been in a state of recovery for so long? You're fine. You're in the bed. You've been fine for a while. You've been sitting on the sidelines. You've been coming in, hearing an inspirational word, and walking out the same way you walked in. No change. Have you been sitting there? Have you been laying in the bed? When will you get up? When will you make the difference? When will you grab the torch? Chris, I got this morning. It's time for me to carry it. Chris, I got the sidewalks this week. Kathy, I'll handle the ushering this week. Go enjoy the service. Phil, I'll help with the Bible study. I got it this week for you. Pastor Marty, what can I do to serve the house of God this morning? When will that be you? When will it be you? 2 Timothy 3:2 says this. Paul said, in the last days, that men will become lovers of themselves. People will tell you you're weird. People will look at you, Paul, and say, that guy's just a weirdo. Becky will walk into church, and people will say, Becky's so weird. You know the stuff she says? She's so weird. I said that. I was the one. I was the one that looked at people like that and said, I never want to be like him. And now I find myself watching them and going, how do I get closer to the Holy Spirit? How do I need to change so I can sense his presence anew? How do I get there? Lay down the spirit of pride. Lay down the you mentality. Get before the Lord. This message isn't about you giving money. I don't need your money. I don't need it. It's about you getting before the Lord and saying, you know what, Lord? I've lived for me long enough. I'm unhappy. Lord, right? We got to be honest with ourselves sometimes. I'm unhappy. I need you more than I need myself. It's about sowing and reaping. I wanted to show a video. Your mom used to say, make people miss you when you're not around. Aaron wasn't here today, so I couldn't get this video ready. We went into a Dunkin' Donuts the other night. Some of you will walk out and you'll laugh at this. I would have at one time. We walk into this Dunkin' Donuts the other night after we had dinner. We were stuffed. I saw this Dunkin' Donuts. I'm behind my dad. I start flashing my lights. Our heads went bzzz. We turned into the Dunkin' Donuts. Walked in there. I ordered a peanut donut. Hot coffee. Amen, Kathy. Walked in there. Started eating that donut. Just talking. You know, just spending time. You know, we sat next to the fire. And I didn't even say this that night, but I just felt the Holy Spirit in there. 10 minutes later, I'm looking around. There wasn't a soul in the place. As God is my witness, there wasn't even a person in the drive-thru. Listen to me now. There wasn't even a person in the drive-thru. Not a person in that store. We walked in, the lady was like, what are you guys doing here, basically? We sat there a few minutes, and I'm not kidding you, 10 minutes went by. And the place was packed. You might think it's happenstance. You might think it's coincidence. It's not coincidence. Whatever you sow, whatever you put in, whatever you talk about, whatever you sow your life to, the blessing or the curse of that will follow you. Walked in there, the place is packed. Look around, what in the world? Where'd all these people come? And that, what Dad had said a couple weeks ago, every time I walk into a coffee shop, there's nobody there. Then all of a sudden, there's a line behind me. Remember when he said that? It's the truth of God's word. Do not be deceived. Don't be lied to. Don't be lied to. Don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, Chad Dart, whatever you sow, you'll reap it back. I gave more money at the first of the year. As God is my witness, I got a raise a week later. God is my witness. I got a raise a week later. I gave more to the church. God is my witness. I'd had an offering on an investment property. The next week, I got an approval on it from an out-of-state company. I want to pray for three kinds of people tonight, and I'm closing. People with an issue of pride. Listen to me now. You're shutting me off right now because you got an issue of pride. The Lord spoke to me before the service. There's five people in here that if you'll lay down your pride, the Lord will begin to work on your spirit. You'll come to a sense of joy that you've never had. I want to pray for a second type of people. Don't jump, Debbie, like that. You scared me. People that you know, you've been on the sidelines long enough. You've been fed long enough. You're healed. Your spirit is healed. It's time. I believe through the heavenlies, through the Holy Spirit tonight, that He will release a grace, a forgiveness, a passion for you to serve. I want to pray for a third person. You've been serving. Oh, I feel this in my spirit. You've been serving. You've had your wheel to the plow. You've done the right thing. And you feel like it's dead end after dead end. You feel like the Holy Spirit has left you. You say, Lord, tonight, I just need one more stone. I just need one more opportunity to serve you. I know I screwed up. I know I walked away. I know I had the issue of pride. It was me. When he was talking tonight, I was convicted. It was me, but I want another opportunity. I want you to do something. And this is much more bold for me than it is bold for you. I want you, if you're one of them three people, I want you to stand right now, and I want you to walk down to this altar, and I want to pray with you. If two people will come, 20 will come. There's not a person in this house. You know that the word of the Lord has touched your spirit tonight. Leaders, elders, let the Holy Spirit work on you once again. Let Him work on you once again. I'm going to wait one more minute. All that's good and perfect comes from you. Oh, you're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. I'm going to wait one more minute. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. And Jesus, you're the center of
it. Right, just go down there and begin to pray. Honey, come on up and help him pray. Would you do that? Samantha, stand up here behind your husband tonight for just a moment. Thank you, God. We love you, Lord. Honey, just go and begin to pray. Garrett, why don't you come up and pray as well with them tonight. Thank you, God. You're wonderful, Lord. You're wonderful, Lord. Precious, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe there's just a half a dozen people that would like to come down and stand right down in front of me, and you just begin to pray for God to move greatly in these lives that have stepped out in faith tonight. Would you just slip out of your seat and come down and stand here? Just begin to pray. Believe the Lord for something beautiful in His house tonight. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. There's a few more there. Just come down and pray here. What a step of faith that they've done to come down and just ask God. I need you to really pray over here. That's so beautiful that you all would do that. Thank you, God. We worship you, Lord God. Let's just pray just a few more minutes together tonight. Is there anybody else who would just come down and just stand together and just be in agreement tonight and pray together with us here? God, to do a work in our hearts, to agree for these that have been bold to come and stand here tonight. Just say, Lord, I'm in need tonight. Would you just come Some of you just stand and pray. Just going to take just about 2 more minutes, and we'll dismiss tonight. What a precious time in the Lord's house and in His presence tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. If any of you are sick in your body, I want you to come down, stand in front of me tonight. We're just going to pray and lay hands on you before you go. I'm going to close in prayer, but if you're sick and you need God just to come alongside of you, you want us to pray for you, come stand right in front of me as I'm closing in prayer tonight. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for your servant. God, I pray, Lord, that spirit of this message would permeate every heart and every life here tonight. God, that we will not be consumers to ourselves, but God, will be servants of the Most High God. I give you thanks and I give you praise tonight. I pray blessing upon your people, the families that are here tonight, the children from the youngest to the oldest. Let them know your hand upon their lives tonight in a beautiful way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. God bless you so much.